This morning I have a very, very interesting word. I'll just leave it interesting in the fact that it's something I never really thought about a lot. I didn't pick it apart in the beginning. I like to do that. I like to take a verse of scripture and think about it for about 3 or 4 days and then just start writing down different things I see in it. This one's called A Week of Waiting. And going all the way back to the book of Genesis and the story of Noah and his family and all the critters in the boat, in the ark. Genesis chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. This is a very exciting portion of scripture, and it's going to come full circle back to Jesus. But it's worthy of coming back and seeing perhaps if you've ever thought about this. Because I like to challenge us together and just think about what would you have done during this particular week? And this week that I'm talking about is found in Genesis chapter 7. Chapter 7 starts off with Noah enters the ark and with his family and all the wildlife are all in there with him. And Noah, verse 5, we've got to come back to verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Noah went in and his sons, verse 7, and his wife and his sons' wives with them into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And it goes through all the things that Noah had put together. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. That's an important verse of scripture because God told Noah that he would seal the ark after they were all on board. Well, that took place, but the first raindrops didn't happen for a week. What were they doing? What were they thinking? Do you think there might have been reason for his family to turn on him and say, You senile old buzzard out here in the middle of the desert, and you believed this cockamamie story that God was going to make a big flood and destroy everything? It never rains out here in the desert. Just a whole week of waiting. And I think about the waiting process. So I wrote some few little things down. As the enormous door of the ark was closed by God, you can only imagine how Noah and his family were feeling about that. Why did we have to sit in this thing with all these stinking animals for a whole week all shut up? And it hasn't rained. Did I hear from the Lord? And begin to question. Have you ever been there? Begin to question if you know, a week goes by. If I don't have an opening scripture by the time I get here, we're not having one. I'm not little jackrabbit and pull something out of my hat up here in the pulpit. I won't do that. I know I can pop the Bible open and talk about anything on any page I look at. But I specifically look and I specifically wait. Because sometimes I start asking God Sunday afternoon for an opening scripture for next week. and I wait all week. And I keep a notepad handy because sometimes when he gives it to me, I'm not in a place that's convenient to sit down and start typing. But they waited. The time had finally come. God was about to do something big. While Scripture does not record any reaction of theirs or anything they said, there is one fact that we often see left out of this account. One full week elapsed before the rain began to fall. For 7 long days, Noah and his family and the animals waited inside the ark as it remained on dry ground. It's like waiting for high tide. Your ship is grounded and you got to wait for high tide to lift it off the sandbar. Well, how do you know? How do you know how long it's going to be before the next tide comes unless you live by the sea and you know the timing of the sea? But there was no sea to see. It was just desert. Can you imagine the anticipation? With our instant gratification culture today, it's easy to envision ourselves growing angry or doubting we were even in the same situation. 7 days of waiting, 7 days of wondering if God was telling the truth. But here's the key. And this is even before the Holy Spirit came to indwell born-again believers. Noah wasn't born again. Noah didn't have the Holy Spirit abiding inside of him. But Noah had walked with God. He knew him. Those in the ark, therefore, waited patiently for God's word to be fulfilled. And as interesting as traditions and theories can be about why they had to wait 7 days, you can't really find a specific answer there. That tells me right off, don't get too concerned if God doesn't give me a hint as to why he asked me to wait. It could be a lot of things, but one thing I'm thinking of in particular is, would I really do it? Would I really wait? Or would I get frustrated and say, well, it's Saturday, he hasn't given me anything yet. Let me see, where was I reading the other day? I'll use one of those verses. That'll work. Nobody will know the difference. But God would. And Noah had to keep all of his family pacified too. And it's one thing for him to believe God. He had a whole house full of family. How long have you waited and stood in the gap for your family? How long have you waited and stood in the gap for grandchildren? And outwardly, you haven't seen anything yet. Well, the story has a really happy ending. It's worth the wait and then some. I don't know who prayed for me to get saved, but in the end, they were really happy it happened. But not as happy as I was. What we do know is it's possible that God really wanted to see if Noah would go through with this most preposterous fish story. Now, that was Jonah. That's another story. But the ship and all the instructions, how would Noah even know how to build such a thing? Except the Lord showed him. All the tools. I mean, some of us guys, we always got a building project going on. We're always tinkering with stuff. I know Rich does, and I don't know if anybody else in the room always got to have a project going, and we got to have all the right tools to do it just right. And Noah had everything he needed. So it might have been God just waiting to see if he would. Just to see if Noah would wait out that week and then try to go bust a hatch open. There's no rain. We're suffocating in this thing. Besides that, it really smells. Scripture does not record them pushing down the door to escape or doubting God's word. Doesn't say whether they cried out and complained against the Lord, something we see so frequently recorded elsewhere in the Bible. Lord, I'm tired of this manna. I want some food. I want some meat. Down comes the quail. Oh, I bet they were tasty. Whew. God don't make anything bad. It had to be the absolute finest. A bird food. Oh, everything he gives us is so good. No, they simply entered the ark according to God's direction. We have only a record of their faith and obedience. Few other questions I've pondered here out of all of this. Noah's mentioned in Hebrews 11. That's God's Hall of Fame is listed in there, all the people that were given credit for having been known for their faith. And you know, Noah's mentioned in there. How frequently do we lose patience while waiting on the Lord to move? How often do we pray to God, "How long, Lord?" while waiting for him to answer our prayer? It can be so easy to look at our lives, see the challenges, the frustrations, the periods of intense and unbearable waiting. Priscilla, it took 40 years, didn't it?
48.
48, yeah, so. Mm-hmm. See, I think of your testimony about that and a lot of others, but so many of us probably would have given up long before that period of time. But when you know that you know that you know, you'll go as long as you can go. So I want to bring you now to the text of, this is kind of just a thought process about waiting just for a week and what all the thoughts that you might entertain in that period of time before the end of the week. Come over, please, with me to Luke chapter 2. But I'm going to kind of read a little bit of it in reverse, in that I'd like to start with verse 36. And it has to do with on the eighth day when Jesus was brought into the temple. He had just been born a week. And it was the day that Jewish people honored with the religious ceremony of circumcision of their son on the eighth day. And they brought Jesus into the temple for that purpose. In verse 36, and then we're going to go backwards from there after I read this part, but I want to talk about Anna first. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. Her husband died at a reasonably young age, and you can conclude that for how long she'd been a widow. 84 years. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, what instant? The very instant that Jesus was brought into the temple. And spoke of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Oh, I'm sorry. Gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him, meaning the baby, to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Now, how did she know that? just another kid being brought in. It's the eighth day. He's a son. Guess what? 84 years a widow, but her whole life was spent in the temple, fasting, praying, waiting for the scriptures to be fulfilled. It prophesied of when Israel's Messiah would come. It doesn't say she entertained the thought of getting remarried so that she'd have a husband to take care of her or anything like that. We were talking about a week with Noah and his family. But here's somebody, 84 years. She waited and waited and waited. And when Jesus was brought in, the Holy Spirit quickened it to her. She knew. She knew who this little child was. And spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. The Redeemer had come. Now let's back up to verse 25. There was someone else in this portion of Scripture. But let that 84 years set in your thinking. I am so challenged. Sometimes I can't wait 10 minutes. Come on now. Am I that different? No. Verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Same thing. He was also waiting for this birth to take place, that one day in his life he would live to see the Messiah that the scriptures prophesied and promised. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Oh, I love that. The Holy Ghost, even then, you see, the Holy Spirit. And we've been studying the Holy Spirit downstairs for weeks and weeks and weeks. Old covenant, new covenant. And it's the same Holy Spirit. It's just that he led from the outside. Now he lives and leads from the inside. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He waited his entire lifetime. He was willing to wait even to the point of death, because he so believed that he would live to see the day that the Messiah was birthed and revealed to Israel. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He wasn't even in the temple, but the Holy Spirit revealed to him, he's here. He's here. You need to go to the temple. I love how the Holy Spirit leads, how he speaks to people, how he directs them. This is so cool, because Jesus had already been born a week. And yet here's the temple situation. And yet the Holy Spirit told him to go there. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. He didn't just wander in. Well, I think I'll go in there and see what's happening today. Probably like every other Sunday. No, it was Saturday. Maybe it was Wednesday. I don't know. But he knew, because the Spirit led him to be there at the exact moment that Jesus' surgical procedure was about to take place. And when the parents brought, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he, meaning Simeon, took he him up in his arms. Wonder what his parents thought about that. Let me borrow him for just a minute. Let me hold him. Let me hold your child. There's something special about this one. And Aunt Simeon said these words in verse 29, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, his parents, and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And she's prophesying to Mary about that child. And here's two people who specifically were named that waited all these years, and finally they were blessed with what they waited for. The ark, it kind of illustrates our humanity part of us, how difficult it might be to wait on the Lord for a week. And a most seemingly ridiculous building an ark out in the middle of the desert. Mm-mm. But he had faith to believe that all that work. And you know, he didn't even have to go get the critters. God sent them to him. He separated them and sent them. "All right, you ostrich, get your head out of the sand. You're going to be sucking pond water in a week. Get in the boat." They all came. But Anna and Simeon were so convinced. They waited and waited. I'm encouraged in myself to just keep waiting until I hear clearly from the Lord about a lot of things. About our families, about this fellowship, about a lot of things. And I'm not moving until I know. And then when I know, you'll know. So disregard that rumor that's been going around for 3 or 4 weeks. No. They should have come and asked me. But the rumor's out. Oh, they're getting ready to leave the church. They're training somebody else to take his place. God, I wish they would have asked me first. I'm going to start a new rumor, and I want you to go home and spread it to everybody you know. Rick told us today he's staying for at least another 10 years. So just cool your pipe, Shogi. I challenge you. Oh, my. Well, imagine that. We finished a little early. I should have waited until later to start this. Does anybody like prayer this morning? And I know this. A lot of family things going on this afternoon, and I don't mean to stay here so long that it keeps you longer. I know you came because you wanted to, and that's what I love about all of you. You're very faithful.